be on the screen as well. And this morning, I'd like to invite you to join me in the New Testament book of Acts. It's the fifth book of your Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, or not your Bible, but your New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Acts. Acts chapter 9. I want to give you just a couple verses before I join you there in Acts chapter 9, so if you want to write those down. Acts chapter 9, and I'll give you a moment. I love hearing the rustle. I know technology, I've got a couple Bible apps on my phone too, but I did like hearing I don't know if you call it old school or not, but I do like the kind of the book version too. It's just what I grew up with, and I'm used to it. I make notes in it and so forth, and I can use it that way to just get familiar with it. But we have a confession we like to make concerning our confidence in God's ability to speak to us by his word through his spirit. And we'll put the words on the screen. And those of you joining online as well, if you agree, we invite you to make this confession with us. Are you ready? This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. God's word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. By his truth, I am set free, free indeed. I'm ready to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the word of God. My mind is alert, my heart is open, my spirit is receptive. I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. If you want to write this scripture down, let me give it as a little preface for the message. It's found in Numbers 21:4. Let me read it to you. Numbers 21:4, talking about the children of Israel after God had freed them from slavery. They were on their way to a land that God promised them. And it says, then they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. And I want to call attention to these words. And the soul of the people became very discouraged on the way. The soul of the people, in their heart, mind, their emotions, they became very discouraged. And let's just be honest. We may have walked with the Lord for many years, know that he's good, he's faithful, but can we just admit this morning that sometimes in our walk with the Lord and on this journey, even with the Lord, that sometimes we can become discouraged. Let me just give you the title of the message then. Here is the message. It's actually a New Testament command, simply three words. I just want to build on this point in the time we have this morning. It's simply this: encourage one another. Encourage one another. Would you say that with me? Encourage one another. And the words, I thought about discouragement, and in my mind, I kind of separate them like discourage. The English word actually means to deprive of courage. Whereas encourage actually means to inspire with courage. So to deprive of courage or to inspire with courage. And there's a scripture here, again, one more before I join you in Acts 9, that's in Acts chapter 4 and verse 36. There was a man named Joseph, but the apostles didn't call him that. They gave him a nickname. And here's what they called him. They called him, this is Acts 4:36, Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. What a great nickname. What a great name to earn. A son of encouragement or a daughter of encouragement. So encourage one another. In fact, I'd like to ask you to do this. Maybe would you just turn to someone next to you or maybe across from you or wherever you can find someone and just tell them, let's encourage one another. Acts chapter 9, there was a man who hated followers of Jesus. He tried to compel Christians to blaspheme the name of Jesus. He had the authority to have them killed. He was on his way to arrest believers in Damascus and for that purpose to imprison them. And the Bible says he met the risen Lord. God appeared to him in his risen glory, absolutely transformed him. And he wanted to join the church, so to speak. He wanted to show up where the believers were. But you may imagine the believers were like, yeah, right. We know this guy. His reputation precedes him. He's not wanting to join us. He's wanting to sneak in and find us so he can kill us. We know what he's about. This is what it says in chapter 9, verse 26. Acts chapter 9, verse 26. And when Saul had come to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and didn't believe that he was a disciple. Verse 27, but Barnabas, the son of encouragement, came along. He took him and brought him to the apostles, and he declared to them how he had seen the Lord on the road and that he had spoken to him and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. So here he is. Here is the son of encouragement. Here's someone I'm coming alongside. I'm going to, look, this guy's, I can vouch for him. He's all right. So to encourage one another, and what a great ministry and opportunity we have. Now, if you look at verse 31, Acts chapter 9, verse 31, says, then the churches, please notice that it's not just a single little group of people, but the church or churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and were edified. What does edified mean? It means to be built up. It's to be built up in our faith. So the churches had peace and they were built up and walking in the fear of the Lord. That means a holy reverence and awe of God. We recognize who he is and who we are. It says, and walking in the fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied. Let me give you this real quick, because the word for encouragement is also translated comfort and exhort. Sometimes the context determines. If someone's experienced loss and they're grieving, that same word may be translated comfort, but it's all the same. Encourage, comfort, exhort. So when it says here, and walking in the fear of the Lord, in fact, some of your translations probably word it that way, walking in the fear of the Lord and in the encouragement of the Holy Spirit, the churches were multiplied. The believers grew because they had a proper reverence for God. They were encouraging one another in the faith and they were built up. And as a result, they grew, they spread. The gospel spread and people were joined in. And this is very important. This ministry of encouragement is not just for a few spiritual people 2,000 years ago. It wasn't just for the apostles. Notice it was the churches, all believers. We have such a powerful and much needed ministry to minister encouragement to one another, to give and to receive encouragement. I want to ask you to turn to chapter 15 now in Acts. Acts chapter 15. And I'd like to just share with you this morning three reasons why we're to encourage one another. And there are more than these, I'm sure, but godly reasons, scriptural reasons of why we are to encourage one another, to give encouragement, to receive encouragement. I'll say that again. I thought about it this week. We have a blessed and much needed opportunity to minister encouragement to one another. And just going through life, sometimes just on our own seasons. Again, we can become discouraged, sometimes very discouraged. And man, what a blessing it is to have a brother or sister come alongside to put courage in, to encourage. That's a great and a much needed ministry. And before I give you these three, let me just make the difference between flattery and encouragement. The difference between godly encouragement and flattery is done with a self-seeking motive, a self, like I'm trying to tell you something so you'll think good of me, or I might get a promotion or whatever. It has a self-seeking motive, and it can cause someone to fall. That's why the wisdom of Proverbs warns us over and over against it. We're not talking about flattery. We're talking about genuine godly encouragement to be a blessing. And here is the key. That scripture in Acts 9:31 says it was by the Holy Spirit. We minister encouragement by God's Spirit within us. That's so important. So let me give you these three. Here's the first one. One reason we encourage is to strengthen our faith. We're to encourage one another so that we strengthen our faith. These are scriptural reasons. Now, there's nothing wrong with just seeing someone out in public. Maybe you don't even know them and you smile and say, I hope you're having a good day. That's fine. That can be an encouragement too. But in the context here, I'm speaking of as believers, we need to encourage one another so that we grow stronger in our faith. The Bible says this in Acts chapter 15. Let me give you a little background before I read verse 30. There was a big contention, and the church could have split very early on, right off the bat. But they were willing to come together to discuss this question of whether people had to be circumcised to be saved, those who were non-Jews. And they went to the scripture, they sought the leading of God's Spirit, and they came to a scripture. They wrote it, that's right here in Acts chapter 15. It was in the form of a letter. And then verse 30 says this, "So when they were sent off, the apostles, the elders were sent off, they came to Antioch, and when they had gathered the multitude together, they delivered the letter." So they're going to read it to them. Verse 31, "And when they read it, they," the believers, "rejoiced over its encouragement." Verse 32. In fact, let me pause right there a second, because that's... Think of the potential we have to encourage with our words, even when they're written. I want to ask you a question, if you can honestly raise your hand on this. Have any of you ever received a card, a letter, a text, email, however it may have been, have any of you ever received some type of written correspondence, typed correspondence, that encouraged you in a time when you really needed it? Would you hold your hand up just a moment? Hold them up just a moment, please. Would you look around? See how I'm, thank you. Thank you so much. Wow. Sometimes that's just a word in season, isn't it? That's what I mean. Encourage one another. We have that kind of potential. And what a blessing it is to not only be on the sending end, but on the receiving end, to have it that way. And then let me read verse 32. It says, "Now Judas and Silas themselves, being prophets also, exhorted," that's the same word, encouraged. "They encouraged and strengthened the brethren." How? How did they strengthen and encourage the other believers? With what? With many words. Brothers and sisters, our faith in God and His word is constantly attacked and challenged. And it's not just new in our day. It started in the Garden of Eden with one who went to Eve and said, "Has God really said?" Trying to implant that doubt of, did God really say that? Doubting God's word and then doubting His character and goodness. You mean He won't let you eat everything you want? Attacking His character, attacking His goodness and the heart and the love of God. He's still doing the same thing today. Attacking God and His word. And that's why it's so important that, of course, we can encourage in other ways too, not just words, but why the ministry of encouragement is so important. Let me read this scripture to you if you want to write it down. It's in Romans chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. Still talking about why we need encouragement to strengthen our faith. Romans chapter 1, verse 11 says, "I long to see you," this same man I spoke about earlier who was attacking the church, who became a believer, wrote this letter, and he says, "I long to see you that I may impart to you some spiritual gift so that you may be established." Then verse 12, "that is, that I may be encouraged together with you." Notice, thank God for the correspondence, but there's something about being together face to face, where he said, "I'm an apostle, I'm writing scripture, but I need the encouragement too. And I want to see you, because when we get together, I can encourage you and you can encourage me. We encourage one another." And oh my goodness, that's, it's so important, because we come together in that way. We encourage one another with our faith in God and His word. That's so important. So again, it's not just have a good day. I mean, that's good. That's great. But as believers, when we're discouraged on the way, we need someone to come alongside with faith in God and His word, and we join our faith together. That's how we're stronger together. Let me read the last phrase of that verse 12. It says, "encouraged together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me." That word mutual is only translated this way once here. It's typically translated one another. So it would be like this. It would be like saying this. By our one another faith, we can encourage one another. One another faith produces one another encouragement. Would you say it with me one more time? Encourage one another. Now would you turn to the book of Hebrews? So first, we encourage to strengthen our faith. And then I'll just tell you what they are and I'll go into them for just a few moments. Second, to avoid deception. And then third, to stay together. We encourage to strengthen our faith, avoid deception, and then to stay together. Hebrews chapter 3 is the scripture, verses 12 and 13. Just wise words for us to live by, as all of them are, but the Bible says this, Hebrews 3, 12. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. So unbelief could lead to something. And verse 12 says, but exhort, again, that's the same word translated encourage, but encourage one another, how often? Encourage one another daily while it is called today. That's a season that we are living in right now until the Lord returns. It's called today, so while it's today, go ahead and encourage one another. And then he gives this warning in verse 13. We encourage one another, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Remember how I talked about the Garden of Eden, how he, has God really said? You know the form that Satan took on? It says it was the most subtle of those beasts that God, he's subtle. Sin can appear subtle, but it's always deadly. Sin can appear subtle, but it's always deadly. James said it like this. When our sinful desires, and we can have godly desires, thank God, we need to pursue those. But when the sinful desires we have meet with a temptation and the two are joined together, sin is born, and when it's full grown, it produces death. Death is a separation. Sometimes it may be a death in a relationship. It could be a death in finance, in ministry, whatever it is, but sin is always deadly. We don't get to see the end result always. That's why it's tempting. So we've got to go through the ministry of encouraging one another so that we're not deceived, and as results, our hearts become hardened. Before I give you this last one, again, we're to encourage one another in faith and obedience to God's word. Would you say this after? Would you say, we're to encourage one another with faith in God and his word. Jesus said that many will be deceived in the days before he returns. Do you know why there will be such widespread deception? Because there will be widespread, I don't mean this in a mean way, ignorance or unaware of the truth of God's word. That's why we need truth so that we know how to live. There is an absolute truth. The world may say, well, that's your truth, that's my truth. And there is such a thing as absolute truth. Jesus said it's right here. I'm gonna cast my vote with him. I'll cast my vote with Jesus. This is truth. And if we don't want to be deceived, we've got to know the truth. So we encourage one another. Would you turn to chapter 10 now? Sorry, chapter 10. We encourage one another to strengthen our faith, avoid deception, and then finally to stay together. To stay together. Oh, I just thought about this, I remembered. I didn't even know this was a thing, but I heard on the radio, today is called National Back to Church Sunday. So if any of you coming back, thank you, Lord bless you, welcome. Come back. But this scripture talks about the importance of fellowship together in the context of encouraging one another. So it says this in Hebrews chapter 10, beginning in verse 19. I'm gonna read 19 and 20. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest, That referred to a place where only one man could go once a year with the blood of a sacrifice and offer the blood on the mercy seat over the Ark of the Covenant to cover the sins of an entire nation. But see, Jesus did something for us. He's not talking about the holiest that was in a building in Jerusalem. He's talking about the heavenly holy place. So he says, having boldness to enter the holiest how? By the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated or he opened up for us through the veil that is his flesh. The Bible tells us that God is holy and without sin, and we have all sinned. Sin is in our heart. That's the problem. It's not just what I do. It's inside. Jesus said that's where sin comes out of our heart. I need a heart change. I need a heart cleansing. And so this same holy God that I could never, we could never approach is also love. And the Bible says he loved us so much that he took all of our sins, past, present, and future, and he placed them on his sinless son when he suffered and died on the cross. And Jesus poured out his life's blood to cleanse us from all sin, forgive our sin, give us a new beginning, and open the way that we could know God as our Father and we can approach his heavenly throne anytime in the name of Jesus. Isn't that a blessing? And here is the key. It's not just repeating a prayer. We may do that. It's God drawing our heart. See, we have to deal with the sin. God doesn't sweep it under the rug or say, I don't want to look at it. He addressed it. He said, I'm going to take care of it, but you got to trust me. What my son did for you will forgive your sin, but you've got to be willing to just come to me with faith. That's why the Bible says God, the Holy Spirit, convicts us of our sin, and he also draws us to the reality and truth that Jesus is Lord. And when we believe that in our heart, the Bible says it's with the heart we believe and we're made righteous with God, and with the mouth we confess our salvation, and anyone and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved with that heart faith. So then he gives three let us statements if we know him. Verse 22 says this, because Jesus opened the way, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. If you're a believer, heaven is open to you and to me. So let us draw near. Then the second one, verse 23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. Why? Because he who promised is faithful. We can trust God's word because he's faithful. So let us draw near, let us hold fast. And then verse 24, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Can I pause right there just a moment? I've heard over the years, because I've been in church for a little while, of sometimes a church will go through something and said, they're stirring up something in that church. Well, this is how I want us to stir up something in church, all right? I want us to think of ways that we can encourage one another to stir up love and good works. Encourage one another. Verse 25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting, again, it's the same word, but encouraging one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Thank God. Let us draw near. Let us hold fast, and then let us consider how we can encourage one another to love and good works. Now, let me ask you to turn to Hebrews chapter 12. I'll give you one last scripture. I want to tell you what that verse forsaking, or that word forsaking, means. It means to leave or abandon, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Forsaking, to leave or abandon, abandonment. Now, can we just be honest? Remember what scripture opened up with, Numbers 21? For that the soul of the people became very discouraged on the way. When we become very discouraged on the way in our walk with the Lord, here's what we can be tempted to do. Leave or abandon church. And the scripture exhortation for us is, that is another reason why we need to encourage one another. We encourage one another to strengthen our faith. We encourage one another to avoid deception. And we encourage one another to, as Al Green said, let's stay together. Reverend Al Green, stay together. And as a church, I'm not talking about someone moving on, maybe being led to another fellowship. Okay, but get back in the fellowship. Don't just leave fellowship with the Lord. Hook up with another group of believers and find a new family of faith to encourage you and that you can encourage them. Hebrews chapter 12. Let me read these last two verses. Verses 2 and 3. The Bible says this. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Jesus is the one who begins. He's the one who completes. From start to finish, it's all about him. The context of that scripture in verse 1 is we're all in a long distance, lifelong faith marathon. And we need perseverance and encouragement and or encouragement and endurance. I just happen to remember something. A couple years, I did the little 5K down here. I think 1 year, maybe 2 years with Brittany. And you know, 1 year I actually jogged it the whole way. I wasn't even planning on doing that. I think I was by myself that year. But throughout the little 3.1 miles, is that right, Bobby? 3.1 miles, okay. I had to ask him because he ran the Boston Marathon a few years ago. He would have an idea. But along the way, they had people holding out little plastic cups of water. And they would, you take a toss it, they'd pick it, you keep on going. And they would say, you're doing great. Keep it up, keep it up, keep it going. That was a ministry of encouragement, to persevere, to see it through all the way to the end. And I want to be like that. I want to be a fellow encourager of you fellow faith marathoners this morning to say, I could offer you a cup of cold water spiritually. Come on, you're not alone. We need you, and you're going to make it. By God's grace, just focus on today, one step at a time. Don't worry about tomorrow. You just keep looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. It says, for the joy that was set before him. That's what he had his eyes on the prize. He endured the cross, even despising the shame. And because he did, now he is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And then verse 3, for consider him. Would you say that with me? Consider him. Think about him. Not just, we got to think about how to encourage one another, but we also have to think about Jesus, because it says, who endured such hostility from sinners against himself. Why? Lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. We need to encourage one another to do God's will. And I don't know where you are in your walk or race this morning, but I want to ask you, between you and the Lord, will you be a Barnabas, so to speak, an encourager to a fellow faith marathoner? Because if you will, I can tell you this by God's word and from personal experience, if we really focus on us, that's the key. I have to get the focus off myself, focus on the Lord and you to really encourage you. But if I will do it and do it with the right heart, not only will I hope to encourage you, you know who else is going to be encouraged in the process? I will. Because when we do it with the right heart, we can't outgive God in any way. We're going to be encouraged too. I want to close in prayer, but I would like to ask you this morning. I'm not prying into your business. You don't need to tell me or anyone else anything necessarily. But is there anyone today who would say, Brother Rocky, that's kind of like me. I've become discouraged on the way, and I need encouragement this morning? Would you just, right where you're seated, would you just lift up your hand so I could pray for you? Amen. In fact, let me hold just a moment, please. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you. Yes. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. Yes. Lord bless you. Thank you for your honesty. I want to, we'll go to the Lord here in just a moment, but I hope those of you who maybe were seated around, if you have a genuine word of encouragement for one of these brothers and sisters, please don't leave today without sharing that with them. I believe I ask the Lord to just move by his spirit, that even we might finish and dismiss, But God, ministry can still go on. And that's what I hope will happen today. So can we stand together as we just, I want to lift you up in prayer right now. Father, I like to lift up my brothers and sisters, Lord. I think we've all been there one time or another. And I just pray, Lord, that even today, in this place, by your Spirit, first that you're going to minister that encouragement. But Lord, it's not just up to you. You've called us to be obedient, to encourage one another. So Lord, help us to trust you, and then help us to do it. Lord, I pray that you would even give us words to say, inspired words by your Spirit that really would strengthen a brother or sister in the faith, that really would encourage them, would help them avoid getting off the right track, and Lord, that would bind us with cords that cannot be broken. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done for us. We ask you to just move by your Spirit in Jesus' name.